Good day, and welcome to the Ooredoo Group's Q1 2016 Financial Results Investor Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Andreas Godau, Head of Investor Relations at Ooredoo Group. Please go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hello and welcome to Ooredoo's Financial Results Call. My name is Andreas Goldau, and on behalf of the Investor Relations team, I thank you for joining this session. As part of today's discussion, I am pleased to introduce Ajay Bakri, our Chief Financial Officer, and Hans Kurofotra from our strategy team. We start with an overview of the group results, followed by a Q&A session. The presentation is available on our website at ooredoo.com. Before we begin, a few necessary disclaimer points if you would like to refer to slide number 2. In course of today's discussion, we may make some forward-looking statements. These will be based on the information available to us as of today, and so you should not assume that in future we will continue to hold these views. As such, we do not commit to notify you if our views change. We therefore refer you to our public filing for some factors that may cause forward-looking statements to differ from actual or future events or results. So to begin, I hand over to Ajay.
Thank you, Andreas, and thank you to everyone for joining the call today. I will start on slide 4 with key highlights for the first 3 months of 2016. The group has delivered a solid performance to start the year, despite the challenges we are facing in some of our operations. Our international offering of consumer and business communication services has attracted an additional 7 million customers during the period, up 6% against last year. This was mainly driven by strong customer acquisitions in Myanmar, Indonesia, Algeria, and Qatar. Group revenue remained steady, reaching 7.9 billion riyals, with robust growth in Oman, Indonesia, Myanmar, Kuwait, and the Maldives, while Iraq, Algeria, and Tunisia experienced difficult market conditions impacting their revenue. Currency fluctuations have negatively impacted our results reported in Qatari riyals for the first quarter, with revenue 2% down on Q1 2015. However, if you were to exclude the foreign exchange translation impact, the group's revenue would have increased by 1%. EBITDA was slightly lower for the period. However, excluding the impact of foreign exchange translation, EBITDA would have increased 3%, demonstrating solid operational performance across our business. The appreciation of the local currencies in Myanmar and Indonesia compared to end of December has positively impacted our year-on-year net profit, which is up 75% on 2015. Excluding foreign exchange and one-off gains from investments in Q1 2015, net profit would have been steady compared with Q1 2015. Moving to slide 5, strategically we have made good progress. The investments we have made in our network to modernize and expand, as well as our leading technology and data services, have increased data revenue to 38%. Or 3 billion riyals of group revenues. This is up from 30% in Q1 2015. We're also growing our B2B revenue, which now stand at 1.4 billion riyals. In terms of network investment, we obtained our 4G license in Tunisia and launched services in March. We now have 4G in Qatar, Kuwait, Oman, Maldives, Indonesia, and Tunisia, with Algeria awaiting news on the awarding of the 4G license. Iraq and Myanmar have 3G, and we also plan to launch 3G in Palestine. As part of our strategy to offer customers comprehensive service portfolio, Ooredoo Kuwait entered into an agreement to purchase 99% of an ISP, which is currently pending regulatory approval. This will especially benefit our business and residential customers, who will have access to more advanced mobile and fixed broadband services. As mentioned on our full year call, We also secured $300 million of funding to expand our network across Myanmar, confirming our commitment to the country and offering more Ooredoo services across the country. Looking now at slide 6, at our group revenue and EBITDA. Revenue grew in Qatar, Oman, Indonesia, Myanmar, Kuwait, and Maldives, while Tunisia and Iraq faced challenges. EBITDA was also comparatively steady. However, excluding the impact of foreign exchange, like I said earlier, revenue would have increased 1% compared to the 2% decline, and EBITDA would have been up 3%. Our EBITDA margin reflects the pressure we have seen in some of our markets, as well as the impact of foreign currency movements in Iraq and Algeria, and the economic situation in Tunisia, whose tourism market continues to suffer following the tourist attacks last March. Looking at the group's net profit and net debt slide on slide number 7, a significant escalation in net profit from Q1 to 2015 can mainly be attributed to the positive impact of foreign exchange from Indonesia and Myanmar. Excluding this impact and one-off gains from investments last year, net profit would have remained steady year on year. Our net debt now stands at 30 billion riyals, with gearing at 2.4 times compared to 2.5 times at this time last year, which remains within the board of directors' target range of 1.5 to 2.5. On slide 8, we are looking at free cash flow and capex. While we continue to selectively invest in our networks to ensure we remain competitive, we currently focus on cost efficiencies, including optimization of our capex where possible. Cash flow is healthy, up 134% on last year, benefiting from higher net profit, while capex is down 34% compared with 2015. Some of that is due to timing differences. The proportion of capex to revenue is also lower at 14%, down from 20% last year. Next slide. Group debt increased slightly to 44.5 billion riyals. Group debt is well balanced, and we maintain appropriate levels of cash, with Qatar continuing to hold the majority of the debt. We proactively converted some of our OpCo debt into local currency last year, as we've explained in the call last quarter, where Algeria had replaced its dollar debt with local currency. And we continue to do that wherever practical. Moving on to the next slide, we maintain a conservative debt profile with liabilities reaching to 2043 with sufficient cash to cover our short-term debt. Looking at slide 11, I touched on customer numbers previously, and here you can see the steady growth in the numbers of the last four years. We now have 118 million customers, up 6% from last year, with strong acquisitions in Myanmar, Algeria, and Indonesia, as we continue to offer compelling market-leading networks and services supported by global branding and attractive pricing. On slide 12, we look at some of our key financial metrics tracked against annual guidance. It is still early in the year, but here you can see our performance against guidance. Revenue is just below our guidance at this stage of the year. EBITDA is given guidance at -1%, and if you take out the impact of foreign exchange, EBITDA outperformed our guidance. CapEx is likely to increase, and we still expect it to be within guidance for the full year. I will now review our key operations, starting with our home market in Qatar on page 14. Where we delivered a good performance to start the year. Customer numbers are up 6%, driven by growth in postpaid, mobile, and broadband, with revenue stable year on year. We continue to gain market share, building on our leading position with the launch of new technology and services. EBITDA was down slightly during the period as a result of lower margin equipment sales and promotions, with slight increase in regulatory charges as well. The EBITDA decline can be attributed about 1% to the low margin equipment sales and the balance 1% for the timing of promotion and advertising activity. Net profit was marginally higher at 484 million reals. To further drive market share, Ooredoo launched a new television service, the first 4K TV service in the region, setting a new standard in home entertainment. Ooredoo TV has already attracted 15,000 customers since its launch in mid-February. We continue to upgrade our SuperNet fiber broadband services and are delivering speeds of up to 300 MB per second. On fixed services, Ooredoo has now connected 268,000 fiber customers. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was stable and EBITDA margin was also flat. The mix of revenue was slightly different, so there were lower margin sales of equipment, which was offset with lower costs. If you turn to page 15 now to talk about Indonesia. Indosat Ooredoo delivered strong growth for the period, reporting a double-digit increase in revenue in local currency. This was driven by significant increases in data revenue, which has exceeded voice and SMS proportionally for the first time as well, and healthy increase in customer numbers up 5% to 70 million. EBITDA also increased by double digits in local currency terms, and EBITDA margin is improving, driven by higher revenue and the lower cost of sales. Indosat Ooredoo delivered a net profit this quarter, shifting into a positive territory, which reflects operational improvements and stabilization of the Indonesian rupiah. Following the rebrand in December 2015, Indosat Ooredoo is also improving brand awareness and is seeing an improvement in customer perception of the new brand. Its 4G network continues to expand and now reaches 40 million people with marketing initiatives supporting the investment technology. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was down 3% due to seasonality. EBITDA margin improved from 43 to 46%, reaching more normalized levels. Next slide, Iraq. Our operations in Iraq have been impacted by the security situation, as well as a decrease in customer spending due to the economic environment. However, we are seeing networks return to service in areas which have been liberated. The take-up of 3G services has prompted an increase in data revenue, despite being a market still largely dominated by voice. Revenue decreased by 15%, impacted by the 20% VAT introduced last year, as well as the depreciation of Iraqi dinar, which impacted the results in real terms. EBITDA decreased 9% with comparatively lower drop compared to revenue, reflecting a focus on cost efficiency and resulting in an improved EBITDA margin. Customer numbers were down 4% due to stricter regulation regarding new customers by the National Security Agency. Lower EBITDA flowed into lower net profits at 31 million reals in 2016. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was down 8%, and half of that being an impact of foreign exchange. EBITDA margin improved from 45 to 46% as a result of cost efficiencies. Turning now to page 17, and Oman, where we delivered a strong result for the first 3 months of the year. We recorded double-digit growth in revenue, EBITDA, and net profit with network investments over the past years, driving increases in fixed and mobile data revenue growth. Customer numbers increased by 3%. An improvement in EBITDA drove higher net profits up 18% on last year. Margins have also remained steady at 55%. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was up 1%, and EBITDA margins improved from 49 to 55%. As we explained, Q4 last year had some one-off items. 54 to 55% is a more business as usual margin as of now. Next slide, Kuwait. Ooredoo grew revenue by 11%, helped by higher handset sales. EBITDA was impacted by handset subsidies. Net profit was 21% down on the same period last year, impacted by higher taxes on consolidated income. Customer numbers decreased 4%, and we are seeing fierce competition across postpaid and prepaid products, with particularly high competition on data pricing. We will continue to build on its market-first 4G advantage. It also entered into an agreement in March to purchase an ISP. Pending regulatory approval, this agreement will offer customers with advanced fixed broadband and mobile services to deliver best-in-class services for its customers. Ooredoo Kuwait is differentiating itself from the competitors and now offers mobile billing via Google Play and has a strong voice and data network reliability for its customers. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was up 4.3%, whereas the EBITDA margin was down to 20%, primarily because of higher handset sales and subsidies, which is a feature of the market there, as well as higher promotional activities. Moving to slide 19, Algeria. We generated strong revenue growth of 6% in currency, as well as a 4% increase in customer numbers in a quarter which is normally lower than others. EBITDA was up 12% in local currency as we pursued aggressive cost optimization initiatives aimed at enhancing margins. EBITDA margin increased 2% to 38%, reflecting the impact of these initiatives in Qatari real terms. Reported revenue and EBITDA was impacted by the depreciation of the Algerian dinar by 13% compared to the same period last year. However, refinancing of debt into local currency last year significantly improved net profit, which was up at 77 million riyals compared to a net loss of 61 million last year for Q1. Ooredoo continues to hold 3G leadership in the Algerian market based on its superior network quality. Earlier this month, Ooredoo Algeria submitted a bid for a 4G license, and we expect to hear results soon. Q4 to Q1, revenue was up 2% in local currency. EBITDA margin improved from 33% to 38% as a result of cost optimization and partially because of timing of promotional activities. Looking now at Tunisia on page 20, despite the challenging economic situation as well as continued competition, Ooredoo maintained its leadership position in Tunisia. In March, it was awarded its 4G license and has now launched 4G services, supported by a marketing campaign to further drive the acceleration of data usage. Data revenues continue to increase, mainly driven by mobile internet. Ooredoo's investment in its network in Tunisia was recognized by the regulator in a recent public report, ranking it as the best voice and data network in 4 major cities. Its customer base remains steady at 7.5 million, with an increase in broadband customers. The results in riyals were impacted by depreciation of the Tunisian dinar, with revenue and EBITDA down 9% and 26% respectively. Quarter 4 to quarter 1, revenue was up 5%, and EBITDA margin was up from 31 to 34%. Moving down to our newest market, Myanmar, on slide 21, Ooredoo continued rollout of Myanmar's first 3G-only network has attracted another 3.5 million customers in the last year, with particularly strong additions in March demonstrating sustained demand for quality services. It also continues to drive revenue and EBITDA growth, up 42% and 135% respectively. Smartphone penetration is increasing, generating ARPU of more than 5,700 MNK. We are continuing our strategy to provide 3G handsets at an affordable price to increase our customer base and drive higher data usage. Quarter 4 to quarter 1 revenue growth was 18%, and EBITDA margin from a negative 16% moved to a positive 3%. And with that, I would like to hand back to Andrea for the question and answer session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we go into Q&A, I'd just like to point out that we postponed our capital markets day. We're going to announce the new timing sometime after the summer. And furthermore, we would like to ask your support for the upcoming exit survey, the vote for the best corporate investor relations. We would highly appreciate your support there. Of course, your feedback regarding IR and review is always welcome. I would now like to hand over to the operator to explain the procedure, how to ask questions, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal for questions.
Okay, we're back on the line.
Thank you, sir. We'll take our first question from Tibor Bokor from Aquim Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Three questions, if I may. On Iraq, disappointment again. How much of the disappointment would you attribute to macro? How much to sort of telecom sector? And how much to Asia-specific reasons? Second question on Algeria, how much should we budget for the license costs, 4G? And the third one on Myanmar, a good performance there. Should we expect sort of the quarter-over-quarter growth to continue for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Okay. As far as Iraq is concerned, if you recall, in the last quarter, there's a question about the forecast for Iraq, and I had indicated that quarter or year-on-year growth will still not look good for Iraq, primarily because the VAT was introduced only middle of last year. So year-on-year, you do still see the impact of VAT. In addition to that, because of the oil prices, the security situation, and also because sometimes the government is unable to pay the employees, there is a cutback from customers in terms of spend as well. So it's difficult to put a percentage on how much percentage comes from this compared to the other reason, but one could assume an equal split for both of these reasons. About 15% decline, one could say about 8 to 9% is because of the VAT, or up to 10%. Yeah. As far as the position of Asia Cell is concerned, in terms of market share, they have been maintaining their market share, so there's nothing specific about Asia Cell when it comes to the decline. As far as the Algeria license cost is concerned, I think maybe Hans, you'll pick it up.
Yes, I mean, it's still a process being reviewed in Algeria. There was a minimum bid, which I'll get the number and give you at the end of the call, if I may. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
And the last question was on Myanmar. I think it's still a growth market for us, and we are seeing growth in customers as we launch services in new areas as well. So in the foreseeable future, we are expecting growth in the market.
Thank you.
Okay, shall we take the next question then?
Thank you. And the next question comes from Madhi Singh from Morgan Stanley.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the call. Just a few of them. Firstly, on Qatar, seems like the revenue growth rate has come back. So was that expected, and should we expect a flattish year in line with the current quarter? And also, you know, some comments on the margins. How should we think about the margin outlook? Is this the new run rate around 47-46%? And at the same time, Iraq margins seem like quite strong. So is there anything specific you have done in the OpCo there? Any specific cost cutting efforts which have driven that? And finally, on the dividend, just trying to understand if there is any update on the dividend policy. And even though we saw that CAPEX was cut, but at the same time, I mean, the CAPEX guidance was actually lowered for this year, and we still saw a dividend cut after the full year numbers. So just thinking, where is that coming from? What is the thinking behind cutting that dividend? Thank you.
Okay, I think as far as the Qatar performance is concerned, you can see that there is an impact in the growth trajectory that we used to see year on year. That's quite clear from the numbers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is a change of mix as well. So last year, we've talked about some mega projects, some big business projects, which are lumpy in their nature in terms of revenue. So sometimes the quarter-on-quarter numbers do get impacted by that as well. The underlying growth in the economy here is dependent on how the region grows based on oil. Having said that, within the region, Iraq is... Qatar is better placed, as we've talked about it earlier as well, because of the projects which are ongoing here. There is a possibility of change of mix of customers. A lot of these projects may attract, during the construction phase, customers with lower ARPUs. But that is expected to get offset by business-related spend. So although there is a slowdown, but we are optimistic about the growth in the economy. The timing of the growth and how it actually plays out, we'll have to wait and see. But the medium-term expectation is some growth in the economy. There could be some quarters where, because there are some people leaving the country as well, as you would have heard, because of cutbacks relating to oil industry. So how that gets offset with growth in the projects, that we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. As far as margins are concerned, in this quarter, we had 47% EBITDA margin, which year-on-year was lower because of a couple of reasons. One was the timing of certain promotional activities, which can get offset going forward. Plus, there's some increase in regulatory charges, especially on the spectrum fee, and that piece is expected to continue. So if you talk about the 2% decline approximately in the EBITDA margin from last year, I would attribute about 1% to the mix of revenue in terms of gross margins because of lower margin equipment sales business, and the other 1% to cost-related issues, half of them could be timing differences, and only half of that, so only 0.3 to 0.5%, could be because of some increases in cost. Iraq margins are up because of cost efficiencies, which has been focus of the management there, given the issues in the country. And some concrete measures have been taken across the board, including looking at areas where the network is shut down, how we optimize our costs in those areas. So you see a result of that in the increased margin there. The last question was on dividend policy, and I think we had discussed this in detail last time as well. And we had highlighted that we have a flexible policy, and given the economic environment, it was seen to be prudent and conservative to have a slight dividend revision. And as you are aware, the things in the region as far as economy is concerned still haven't stabilized. Some of the markets where we operate, be it Tunisia or be it Iraq, situation is still not stable. Fortunately, the foreign currency has bounced back well in Q1. However, that has been also a concern on a big picture basis, where you've seen historically last year the strengthening of the dollar. So if you put all that in perspective, that's where the rationale for being conservative in the dividend policy for this year was there, which I think I stated that last time as well.
Just following up on the dividend policy, don't you think the amount you save by cutting dividend is just too small in the overall size of the group?
It is not a question of saving some money here and there. It's a more question of being conservative when you're trying to balance returns with investment and the future forecast. So the analysis which is done for dividends takes into account various factors, and the amount of dividend saved is obviously one of those many factors. Yeah. And it actually shows you the concerns that you are highlighting on Qatar, for example, from your perspective, were also taken into account, for example, when you take such decisions there. So in a way, your first question, in a way, is answering your last question.
But I also look at the free cash flow generated by the group, and that remains quite healthy still. So, you know, you cut dividend, you save around, I don't know, 300 million Qatari riyals. Your free cash flow is still about, 1,400, 1,500 million, 1.5 billion Qatari riyals.
Like I said, and now, medicine, you look at various factors. So I'll add one more factor on top of that, which is also given in our presentation, is our leverage level as well, which is on the higher end of where we stand. So I think to say that it's only one factor which is looked at is not appropriate. And there are multiple factors, which I'm sure you also look at them when you analyze us. So on a big picture basis, this is the decision of the board. They look at all these factors and take a view. And of course, there could be different views from different people on this, and we appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
We'll now take the next question from Valid Belia from Barclays.
Hi, good afternoon. I had a couple of questions on operations and one on financial. Regarding operations, I see that in Kuwait, the competition remains, as you mentioned, fierce. So I just wanted to understand how does your acquisition of Fastelco fits into this market. Do you expect some synergies in there, or something that can help your business in there, or is it just an additional acquisition in this market? My second question was in Tunisia. So the 4G was launched in March. So just to understand, was there some additional costs for the promotion of the 4G that caused EBITDA to deteriorate, or was it were there any other factors? And my final question is regarding the upcoming bond maturity. Just would like to have an idea or an update on how you plan to address that, whether you plan to repay it from cash or you could think coming to the bond market.
Okay, on the firstly on the Kuwait, the ISP acquisition, Fastelco, we think that is a very useful additional capability to our core business. So the fact that gives us the ability to provide broadband data, particularly to business customers, plus some B2B IT services on top of that, we think is a very useful contribution, or will prove to be, once it goes to completion, a very useful contribution to our B2B proposition. So yes, we do see it as having a positive potential impact.
Let me take the question on Tunisia. The 4G was launched in March, early days to determine the impact of that. But if you see quarter on quarter, quarter four to quarter one, the margins have actually gone up from quarter four of last year to this quarter. And although promotional activity will continue as 4G has been launched in the market, but the timing of that and how the revenue comes in will be more visible in quarter two. As far as the bond refinancing is concerned, we're looking at all the options, which includes possibility of using current cash and also the access to the market itself. Now, no decision on that has been taken as yet, but as time goes, I think we'll get more clarity on this. And, of course, once if and when we take a decision, some of this could be in public domain as well.
Thank you very much. Just a final question, if I may. Can you remind us the optimal leverage that you have for the group?
The target given by the board, net debt to EBITDA, is 1.5 times to 2.5 times as a range. And although they do agree to temporarily go above that range, if there's a clear path to decrease it to the range that they have given you.
Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next question from Dilia Ibrahimova from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the opportunity. I had a few questions, please. First one is on Algeria. Considering that when you received the 3G license, you've been able to switch on the network overnight, how long do you think it will take you to get 4G running once you get the license? And perhaps you could give us your estimate of 4G device penetration on the market, if possible. My second question is on Myanmar. Performance is encouraging, but if we start comparing that to what competition is generating, in particular, Telenor had already achieved free cash flow break-even this quarter with 10% free cash flow margin. When do you? I do appreciate that your data-only strategy is more it requires more investments, but when do you think operations will start generating positive free cash flow? Perhaps any update on that would be great. On Indonesia, assuming given that the revenue is under pressure and EBITDA under pressure in Qatar, which is your main source of free cash flow for the group, and Indosat hasn't paid dividends for for many years because of the losses. But if we, assuming that the net income would become positive this year due to your refinancing efforts to bring more local debt in operations, would you consider paying getting dividends out of that OPCO if the earnings become positive? That's it from my side. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. If I take the Algeria question, and if I may just cycle back before I answer the Algeria question to the previous question around the cost of the 4G license. I've just checked. It's a process that's still ongoing, and there was actually no announcement of the terms of the bid or the minimum bid terms by the Algerian government. So I don't think I can say any more on this call. I mean, the only guidance I would give from a modeling point of view is to use the sort of average license fee per GDP per POP as a plug until there's more information coming out of the process. On the go-to-market implementation of 4G on Algeria, again, I'm not really able to say very much because it's still a very competitive situation, both in terms of license award and then what happens in the marketplace. So I'd really not wish to say any more at this point on that.
I understand. And penetration?
The penetration rates also, I don't think we've shared that in the past, Delia. So I think you'll have to make assumptions based on similar markets that you might have seen. But the fact that 3G has already been launched there for some time, normally the high-end customers generally use devices which are 4G compatible. Your question on Myanmar, I think you're right about the different strategies that we have. But as far as free cash flow is concerned, I am not able to give you any specific timeline for that. But what I can confirm is the next foreseeable future, we do expect to be still free cash flow negative in the short term, for sure, yeah. Given that we're still in the investment cycle phase in Myanmar.
Mm-hmm.
Indonesia, of course, Indonesia, Ooredoo, Indosat Ooredoo had been a dividend paying company in the past. And if the profits go up, the dividends could start again. But then that would be a decision at the point when the year-end results are available and we look at the requirements of the company itself. But definitely, as a key shareholder, we do look at balancing investment in the business against rewarding the shareholders. Yeah. So it could be something on the cards if the profits are there.
Melissa, thank you very much.
As a final reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll take a follow-up question from Madhi Singh from Morgan Stanley.
Yes, hi. Thanks for the follow-up question. In Algeria, we did see some slowdown in terms of the local currency growth performance. Do you think that is because GTH is getting more aggressive? And also, when does the exclusivities in the wilayas end this year? For 3G, sorry.
For the 3G. Okay, I think the slowdown to some extent was expected as well. As you are aware that Ooredoo Algeria has been growing revenue as well as market share for a couple of years now, and that obviously cannot continue indefinitely. So some of the slowdown was expected. So that's nothing unusual as far as our plan was concerned. There were different vilayas in different places, and the exclusivity was at different sections and different times. So often I can't give you a clear answer because the multiple answers depending on which...
So what is the maximum, sorry to interrupt, what is the maximum exclusivity at what date, like all of them end?
I don't have a number or date often. I think they were different, like I said, it depends on different priorities given to different operators. Let me get back to you after we got more details on this. We can pick it up offline with you.
Yep, we're going to find out that information over the weekend, and we're going to include it in the transcript of the call.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions, operator?
There is no further questions in the queue at this time.
Excellent. Then I would like to thank you all for joining today's call. Please to, refer to the Ooredoo Investor Relations website for additional updates. We look forward to your future participation. Our next update will probably take place at the end of July. Thank you very much for your continued interest in Ooredoo.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.